Good morning. Amen. Some beautiful songs there this morning. I was very blessed. Well, my wife and I plan on sharing our testimonies here today. But the Lord laid something a little bit different on my heart this week, just the last couple of days, that I want to share this morning before we share our testimonies about baptism, about why rebaptism. And I would like to share what was put on my heart. In February, during the leadership seminar, is when we really got convicted for baptism. My wife and I were baptized as teenagers in the Amish church, and we got convicted for to be rebaptized. And we did a lot of searching on why we were convicted to be rebaptized. And the first place I went to search was in the 18 Articles of Faith written by our Anabaptist forefathers. I enjoy history. I love history. And that's where I went to see what they had to say. And I brought the 18 Articles of Faith along, and I will read two of the articles this morning just to share my heart on why we feel we should be rebaptized. It's Article 6 and 7. I will read Article 7 now and then Article 6 later. Here it says, with regard to baptism, we believe and confess that all penitent believers who through faith, the new birth, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit are united with God and written in heaven upon such scriptural confession of faith, according to the command of Christ, the teaching, example, and practice of the apostles, be baptized with water in the most worthy name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to the bearing of their sins, and thus be incorporated into the fellowship of saints, henceforth to learn to observe all that the Son of God taught, left on record, and commanded his followers to do. I never realized, I had no idea when I was baptized as a teenager in my youth, that there is anything like that for baptism. We were taught that we cannot know if we're born again or not in our church. We were taught that we would hope, or we would try, or that we would do everything we can to work out our salvation, and then we would still fall short, and that's where God's grace would come in. And at times, I used to wonder, what about the people? Actually, we were always taught that it takes our whole lifetime to work out our salvation. And I used to wonder, what about somebody that dies at a young age? That wouldn't be considered living a lifetime, you know, from my perspective. And what about the young person that dies? Did he have enough of time to work out his salvation? Because they say it takes a lifetime. So today we are sharing our testimonies for a believer's baptism. We're not sharing our testimony for a church membership or so we can get married or something like that. It is a declaration to God in heaven, to the devil, the church, and the world that we are willing to follow Jesus the rest of our days. So Rachel will share her testimony first, and then I will share myself.
Greetings in Jesus' name. Today I would like to share my testimony for a believer's baptism. I was born and raised in the Old Order Amish setting. I was raised on a farm and was taught very little on the Word of God. In my growing up years, there was very little love displayed, physical or spiritual. Every other Sunday we would go to the Amish church, and the Sunday in between we would read the Bible in German. I had very little understanding and no teaching on the German language on those Sundays when we read the Bible. I could hardly wait till we were done so I could go and take a nap or do something else. It was work, work on the farm, and no time to study the Word of God. And as long as we were in the ordinal of the church, we had a hope of going to heaven when we die. I was never taught about the new birth and had no idea what it meant to be born again. At the age of 16, I joined the Amish youth group, and after 4 months, started a courtship with Ben. At that time, I started instruction classes for baptism. At 16 and a half years old, I was baptized and joined the Amish church, not knowing what it meant to be born again. All that mattered was that I was in the ordinal of the church, and I never put any serious thought into that matter. You see, it was a way of life, and all my friends and cousins were joining the church, and again, it was just a way of life. At the age of 18, Ben and I were married, and the life went on. We continued going to church every other Sunday and read the Bible the other Sunday in German. One Sunday, I asked Ben if we could read the scriptures in English, as I could not understand very much in German. He said, "Let's continue as we always did." So we continued to read in German, and after we were done, I would read those scriptures again in English. Then when Emma, our oldest daughter, was old enough to read, she would read in English, and Ben and I would read in German. Then we started understanding and seeing scriptures like we never saw before. At that time, I was dealing with a lot of anger and would throw fits of anger at the children when scolding them and kind of took it out of them. I came to realize that I had a huge void in my life and started searching for something different. In the spring of 2006, Ben's brother Wilmer and his wife were put out of council for attending a biblical seminar, and Ben and I were very confused about it. Their church people didn't even come to visit them, so Ben and I would go and visit them a lot. We would go on a Sunday afternoon and would discuss scriptures and so forth, and it was during this time that I believe I was born again. Through God's mercy, I was delivered from my anger fits. It was during this time we started reading and studying the Bible in English, and God's word became alive and real to me. I praise God for choosing me as one of his children. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Praise the Lord. His name is worthy. It didn't go long until my husband came under severe conviction and later was born again as well. We started almost immediately asking our ministers and other people a lot of questions. A lot of our questions went unanswered. We started studying a King James Version Life Application Study Bible and found a lot of answers, such as Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Those were words we never heard preached before. It didn't go long till people started questioning what we believed. It was mostly my family that were questioning us. And praise God, through that it made us search the scriptures more and more. Then in the summer of 07, we attended the tent meetings at 340 New Holland Road. We were just astonished at the preaching we heard. We would even listen on the phone afterwards, and we were blessed. We were so blessed by those messages. By this time, two of Ben's brothers had left the Amish church and were excommunicated, and we were supposed to shun them. But we could not find any scripture to support that idea. Then in the beginning of October 07, at council meeting, we were asked to confess that we are not shunning our brothers, and because we went to the tent meeting is wrong. We could not be honest in our hearts to do that. So we felt that God was calling us to go to another church where more biblical fellowship and teaching was being practiced. I would like to thank the body here for the session and the fellowship that has been shown to us. I would like to, Lord willing, have a believer's baptism. Thank you.
Amen. We really enjoy the fellowship here. Okay. I was born and raised on a farm myself, in the Amish church system there. And growing up, my parents had a lot of painful years. As I was growing up as a child, my dad experienced some serious health issues, and my mom did some backsliding in her Christian days, my dad and mom are both believers, and they went through a struggle there for a while. And so therefore, I didn't hear a lot of about God, you know, as I was growing up either, as my wife shared hearing her testimony. But I knew there was a God. Somehow I knew that. I just always knew there was a God, and that was about it. And at the age of 14, I got attacked by a huge dog. And I ended up in the hospital with 42 stitches in my head. And at that time, I knew God was very real. But I had no way of knowing, you know, grace and faith and all those things. So I didn't accept Jesus into my heart. Life went on, and I just went on with my life. At the age of 16, I joined the youth group. Got into a lot of youth sins, such as smoking, immoral jokes, immoral courtships, a lot of immorality in my youth. And praise God, I'm delivered from that. In my later years, I got into more immorality, and I will be sharing that a little bit later, but it's just amazing to me when I look back and see how God has spared me from that. At the age of 21, Rachel and I got married. Life was good. Everything was just right. There was no need for Jesus. In 1996, I bought a business from my oldest brother, and I put all my heart into the business. There was voids in my life, and when I look back, I see that I was trying to fill those voids with anything but the real deal. And got married, and bought the business, and put all my heart into that. And then as time went on, I came to realize that there was something that I needed, but I didn't realize what it was and what it should be. And I got into some more sins. I got into sins of lusting and adultery, and a lot of hunting and so forth. And I used to think, and I knew that I had a problem with it. And I used to say, well, I'm going to grow the business first and, you know, make sure that everything's right and, you know, we make a lot of money and so forth. And after that's all taken care of, then I will take care of my life. Well, it never happened. In fact, it went the other way. We started experiencing some difficulties in our business. In 2003, we had lightning strike into our building, and it burnt to the ground, and it was just downhill ever since in our business. And I just started realizing that what I put my whole life on was being taken away from me. So I started getting into other things, such as lust and adultery and so forth. I did a lot of travels in my business years, and if I would go and stay away overnight and so forth, I would spend time in sports bars and places like that. I never drank alcohol in my life. I never had a drop of it, but I would go into these places to lust. And I just grieve when I think about it now, when I think back. But God has completely delivered me from that. After my conversion, I had no desire whatsoever to ever go back into those places. And I thank God for that. God kept calling me. God kept trying to get my attention. Well, I shouldn't say he tried. He was. But I didn't listen. And then in 2006, I became under severe conviction. As my wife Rachel here shared with Wilmer and his wife, with what they went through, a lot of questions came. And also with Rachel's conversion, I just got severe conviction. And I got depressed. I got very depressed. I would come home from work and just very depressed. And we would eat supper, and my dear wife always had supper ready for us, and she stayed very faithful, and we would eat, and I would say, well, let the girls do the dishes, and I need to talk. We would go in the bedroom, and we would talk. I would just weep. I would just cry my heart out and weep, and I didn't know what was wrong. She would ask me, well, what's wrong, Ben? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. And this would happen for a couple nights in a row, and then it would kind of clear away again. This was like May, June of 06. And then a week or two later, it would come back. And sometimes it would be 3 or 4 days in a row. And we would go in and talk, and I would just weep and weep. And I just couldn't see my way through. Finally, in August, one evening, we went into the bedroom again. We talked, and I wept, and I just told my wife. I said, I'm under severe conviction. I said, I don't know what it is. So after we were done talking with each other, I went out of the house, and I just couldn't see light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how I would make it through the evening. I couldn't see any way out. And I started thinking, I need help. I wasn't sure where or what, but I need help. So all of a sudden, it just dawned on me. My brother Amos, he knows about God. I'm going to call him. Well, I didn't know if he would answer the phone or not, but I tried, and he answered the phone. I believe God had put this together. He knew. And I wept, and Amos, finally when I was done weeping, Amos asked me if there's anything he can do to help. He asked me what I need. I said, I don't know, but I can't go on my life like this. And he asked me if I would be willing to give my heart to Jesus and pray, and I did. I was born again at that time, and my life was never the same since. Just I never had those kind of depression since. I was never a depressed person before. I'm not known to be depressed, and I am just so thankful that God kept calling. He gave me another chance. He kept calling. He just kept calling. He would not let me go. And praise the Lord, I'm now a child of God. A lot of sins that I had to repent from. I had to go see some people and make things right. And that is still happening in my life. It's almost 2 years later. Just a couple weeks ago, something came to my mind that I did in my youth. I had stolen a few dollars out of my dad's cash register from his business, and it just hit me, just like that. And I went to him, and I made things right, and he didn't even want me to pay him back, but he was so blessed that I came to him. He had no idea. So still, God is still working, and I thank him for that. And also, as my wife had said, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, verses like that became very real to us. We just poured our hearts into the Scripture. We read the Scriptures in English. We understood what it was trying to say. Just a lot of Scripture became very alive to us. And it wasn't long till we started experiencing some difficulties with people were asking us on our beliefs, on our faith. I would talk to the ministers there in our church, and one Sunday the one minister told me, he says, Ben, you ask way too many questions. I see now that he didn't know what to say. So, unfortunately, he said, well, you just ask too many questions. We started asking about attending Bible study. We were told that we shouldn't do that because of the disruption that it causes and so forth in the county here. So we stayed away from that. I was a big respecter of men. That was another thing that I really had to repent from. I loved the respect that I had before I was converted. My wife and I were very well respected in our church, our Amish church district, and it was very hard for us to just give all that up. It was very hard for us to sit in front of church and say that, you know, we can't confess that we did wrong by going to the tent meetings and so forth, because we were very well respected. The church was shocked, and it was very hard. But that was something that we felt we needed to repent from, and God delivered us from that. So, but yeah, then through that we got excommunicated from the Amish church, and we've been fellowshipping here. We thank you all for your prayers and for your help through the dispersing of our business. You know, what I used to build on is now gone, and I am at peace with it. And I do thank the body here for everything they have done for us, praying for us and helping out and so forth. We're really thankful for that. And I wanted to read Article 6 yet, out of the Articles of Faith here before. Article 6 is of repentance and amendment of life. And this one hit home for me. It says, "We believe and confess, since the thoughts and intents of a man's heart are evil from his youth, and he is consequently inclined to every unrighteousness, sin, and evil, that therefore the first lesson of the worthy New Testament of the Son of God is repentance and amendment of life. And that therefore mankind has ears to hear and hearts to understand in order to bring forth genuine fruits of repentance, amend their lives, believe the gospel, depart from evil and do good, cease from wrong and forsake sin, putting off the old man with his deeds and putting on the new man, which is created after God in true righteousness and holiness. For neither baptism nor the Lord's Supper nor church membership nor any other outward ceremony can without faith and a new birth, change or renewal of life, avail anything to please God or to obtain from him any consolation or promise of salvation. On the contrary, one must go to God in true and perfect faith and believe in Jesus Christ, as the Scriptures say, and testify of him. Through this faith we obtain forgiveness of sins, are sanctified, justified, and made children of God, yea, partake of his mind, nature, and image, as being newly born again of God through incorruptible seed from above." What really, this was really a burden on my heart. You know, we were never taught that we can know if we're born again or not. We were baptized for church membership. And it was just a burden for me to share that with the body here this morning. That baptism is, you know, once we're born again, I came to realize that this is true. And this is what our Anabaptist forefathers wrote up for us. But yet today, in the Amish church, they are teaching against that. It's exactly the opposite. And I just have a big burden for that. Lord willing, today I would like to receive a believer's baptism. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or if you'd rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Mo's, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 077. To to listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now. Thank you, and God bless you. Have a wonderful day.